with 21 weeks left.
Noah's not going to miss a night.
21 weeks.
That's all there is. 21 more weeks. That's all there is.
We are on the Chavon base, page 52, the new parak. Misha Mace, somebody dies. Minyak Bonim Ubanasin left sons and daughters. Bismacha Nachasim Merubim, if there's enough property around for Habanas Yershu, the sons inherit, Habanas Yizono, and the daughters get fed. Nachasim Mimulatim, if the property is, there's not enough money to go around, not enough property to go around, Habanos Yizonu, the daughters get fed. Habanim, Yishlo Psachim, the sons have to go beg. In other words, it's going to give a slightly different interpretation, but Yishlo Psachim is where they have to go beg. Because Takonas Chachamim Chachamim made this Takona that in a case where there's not enough property, the children, even though the sons are the ones who inherit the Raisa, nevertheless, Rabbana came and said the daughters get supported. Okay, so that's what the Avlocha is over here. Psarati is also a Mishnah Ksuvas. This here, just because I'm a male, do I lose out? Said Rani is the Amon. I think Amon is correct, but in fact, we don't pass him like Amon in this case. Kinimasi is the way to read our Mishnah. Habonas Yozonu. In the case it's not a property, the daughters get supported. Baboni Mishlo Absalim and the sons go and beg on the doorways. Now, the question is, it would seem that that's exactly what the Mishnah said. What's more adding? So one would have to go to all sorts of contortions, but the Escorial manuscript has, instead of Habonim Yishlo Psachim, Habonim Yischaru al Psachim. Yischaru can have one of two meanings. Yischaru can either mean to go round, score means to go round and around, or it can mean to go trade. You know, they should take up a trade, they should go get jobs. Whichever way it means, it's an interpretation of the Mishnah. And even though the Mishnah said Yishalu, you know, if you say the Gemara says Yischaru, then the Gemara becomes an interpretation of the Mishnah, and then Kinimasis is what it means. All over the Yushalmi, this is the way to read a Mishnah. Rabbi Mishem Rav said, what's considered in the Chosim Rubin? What's the definition of enough where the boys inherit and the girls get fed, and there's simultaneously, when there's enough property to go around, that for each one there's Mesodo Shlema Zachodesh? There should be enough money to support the girls for 12 months and support the boys for 12 months. If not, if there's only less than that, then the girls get the whatever is there, and the boys have got to beg, okay, or do business. Shmuel said to the Ben Gamliel Berebi, that's according to Ben Gamliel Berebi, so 12 months is enough. It's got to be in the chasim room is only if there's enough property for them to be sustained until they become 12 and a half, mature adults, or until they get married. That sometimes is a kula, sometimes is a chumra. Problem is, mukhil beggar, if they're almost 12 and a half, so then it's a kula, because it might be less than 12 months. Or shlos bin a beggar, if they're distant from becoming 12 and a half, then it's a chumra, because you need to have property for more than 12 months to sustain them in order that you be considered the chosim merubim. Okay? It's very hot in here, isn't it? This is my mistake. There's one. If somebody wants a window open, we can open a window. Okay. Says Marbonka Rabbi Chibarba, they ask for a chibarba. Ech shmaitza mi Rabbi Yochan. How did you hear this from Rabbi Yochan? Armelonzi said back to them, Ana lo shamas minei chodem milsa. I did not hear from this matter. Ela. However, would that which did hear is madin nasa varoshio boku Rabbi Yochan, that Rabbi Nasa varoshio in front of us for Rabbi Yochan. What if at the time that the father died, there was enough property for both the boys and the girls to get 12 months worth? And then the property became diminished. The real estate went down in value. So what's the story? Do the boys now stop begging? Have to start begging? Or do we say, no, that whatever portion they got since they began, we're having a portion, they continue with that portion, despite the fact that now it will peter out within 12 months. So on that, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Hoyle Amarle, Hoyle be schilu b'atri schilu. Once they started, they started. In other words, once they started in a manner of division, as opposed to the boys having to relinquish the property to the girls, so that's how they continue, even if the property now becomes diminished in value and will not provide the 12 months per group of Air progeny as originally anticipated. Now, says Amar further, top of Chob Zayim Rav, Rechina Aymara, Rechina Ramon, and Machlokas. Chara, it said, Bushia Basof, Mosin Shneim Aso Chodesh. Concerning this point, one said that you have to have at the end 12, in other words, it always has to be 12 months worth constantly, right? It doesn't matter, he argues the previous Gemara. It doesn't matter that at the beginning there was 12 enough for 12 months for each. No, there has to constantly be enough to and to project towards the end of 12 months that they can continue to be fed both the boys and girls simultaneously. If not, if any time within the 12 months you lose that anticipated result, so then that triggers that from now on the money is held in escrow only for the girls, and the boys have to go in that case in bed. Okay? What the other one said, Afilo Mitchila. No, even as long as initially at the time, beginning of the period, there was enough of 12 months for each, even if the property became diminished in value later on. Nevertheless, Lamaisa, once we distributed and did not require the boys to beg, the boys did not have to beg. What if initially there wasn't taka enough to provide sustenance for 12 months for both the boys and the girls? And it should be vo siru, or the shaitar sells girsas vo kiru. The property went up in price. In other words, real estate appreciated. And now you do would have enough anticipating further, projecting further for the next, say, 10 months. Right? So the children, the boys who were hitherto begging, can they cease begging and now say, well, now we have enough property between the two of us, let's split it up, right? Or not. So say again, but Hokiru or Osiru, then it went up in price. And now Yesha Muslim Leilu Shem Bisakodesh, now there's enough money for the rest of the 12 months for both the boys and the girls. I'm Rabbi Ayyabavlai, Rabbi the Babylonian said, Nishmina me adults are now from here. Imam, the Yisayim Machru, it says that the Yisayim got up and they sold. In other words, they sold the property. They were supposed to provide it to the girls, obviously, but they sold it. They sold the property, despite the fact they're supposed to provide it to the girls. So, Shalai Machru. So, it's theirs, because the underlying ownership is theirs, and therefore, even though they're stinkers, they're louses, they're rotten, for having sold property that should be underlying to their sisters to support them, nevertheless, the sale is a valid and sustained sale. No. They're stinkers, but that's the way it is. Okay? So too, therefore, the flip side of this is Koshkein, certainly we should say Im Osiru Okiru, according to the Shartei Zohar, that now it appreciates the Achloku. In other words, the boys can come in and say, look, we're begging, even though the money is really ours, because the properties are ours, because Takonis Chachamim, right? That you should get fed, but now that there's enough money for us not to get fed, for now there's enough value in the real estate that we should also have a portion, right? Because from now the trajectory is that it will last for 12 months, and the underlying ownership is ours. So fair is fair that we should be able to stop working and start living off the land as you do as well. Okay, so they have the right to demand that. Now, what if there was enough money for both the sons and daughters for the next 12 months? But besides that, there was a widow who had to be supported. Now, the widow who had to be supported, she takes precedence both over the sons and the daughters. She always takes precedence. So the daughters, if you give the amount of precedence, it's not going to be enough for the boys left. It's going to be enough for the amount and the girls. For the widow and the girls. So what can the boys say the following? Again, I mean the case. Is enough for 12 months for each. There's also a widow who must be fed. Can the son say to the daughters, what do you need? You need food for 12 months? Tell you what, we'll guarantee you food for 12 months. Add to the daughters. Take that. That leaves us with 12 months minus what we have to give the amana. Let us worry about that. That should not be your worry. In other words, Alpidin, what could happen is that the Amana would take off the top, and then the daughters would take their share, and the sons would have to beg because there's less than 12 months left for them, and therefore all gets put into escrow for the daughters, and they would have to go back. But can they say, we'll square off the deal with that money. You'll get your 12 months, we'll get our 12 months. What we do with the widow is our business. In fact, it might be their own mother they're dealing with. Right? So therefore, can they say that? So, let's hear from this that it doesn't work. It should not work. Sorry. The case of Ksuvas Bain Dichrin. The halacha is that the case of Ksuvas Bain Dichrin, where the father guarantees his wife that if she predeceases him, her dowry should go to her heirs, to her sons. So the halacha is you only give that if after the regular Ksuva, plus the Ksuvas Bain Dichrin, there'll still be at least a Moser Dina or a leftover Dina upon which you can perform the ritual obligation of Yusha Daraisa. If there isn't that Moser Dina left over, after two transactions of the Ksuv and the Ksuv is born different, then you don't do Ksuv is born different, right? So the question there is, can the sons of the woman who predeceased her husband say to the son of the woman who died after her husband, we'll put a Moser Dina into the pot. That extra dinar which we'll put in the pot, you will divide up as usual the raisa. And then we get the ksuvas barin dirchen. In other words, they want to artificially put our ksuvas barin dirchen into play, even though the father himself did not leave enough funds for that to have occurred. Can they do that or not? So it says, no, they can't. Right? And Shemlan, we don't listen to them, right? So to hear, if they say, listen, we'll take care of that mana, we don't listen to them. Same principle. In other words, if they want to do something, something on the side to increase their monetary benefit in the case, we don't necessarily let them get away with it. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rav Chista asked, like, this is the same question we had before. So it's just a repetition, but it gives a different answer. They both had food for 12 months, the sons and the daughters. But they also had a widow that does feed. Can the sons and the daughters, all you need is the money for 12 months, food, and we'll take care of the amana. So what did you say? What are Rav Chisda's response to this? Says Rav Chisda's response is, V'dot Tamar. There we learned, in other words, elsewhere we learned, Mushi Esham Le'elu Muslim Shtei Masa Chodesh, there has to be a food for 12 months, Chod, besides Mi Mazayna Samora, the food to be eaten by a widow, Chutzi Parnas Banas, besides the money to be used as dowry for the daughters, Chutzi Mishar, besides money which is under lien to pay up a loan which is placed by a document, and, have you on chutz me milabedim besides money which is underneath to pay a loan taken out in front. When it says chutz me karasa besides money for the burial of the amana, so therefore in all these cases we see that all these expenses off the top prevent the halacha of nechas moving taking place. But if there's enough money for 12 months for each one, the sons and daughters to eat. If, however, there's one of these loans outstanding, which diminishes the estate because of this obligation which is riding on the estate. So in that case, we don't say that it's considered to be nechas merubin. So to hear, if you want to, your son will say, we'll take care of the amana. No, it doesn't put the category on nechas merubin, and nevertheless, they must go back while they're their sisters eat off the fat of the land. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Amona Banas, Shtaim Shabbos, and Amona and the daughters are both equivalent in that, but that they both get fed from the estate, right? Amona Banim Shneim Shavim, and Amona and the sons, they're both equivalent. Now, I didn't fully understand how they're both equivalent. I don't know exactly how Amona's sons are both equivalent. I guess they both have equal liens on the dead father's estate. I'm not sure exactly what it means. Ain Amona Deichel Banim.
The sons of the same father.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. No. Ain Amona Deichel Banim. However, I'm on a can't push off the daughter's food, and the daughter's can't push off the mother's food. What I'm on a can do is, it's an interesting concept. Sometimes the Amona can push off the daughters, through the daughters, actually, she can push off the son. In other words, she can't push off the sons by herself. I didn't understand it right now. Now I understand it more fully. What it means that Amona and the sons are equal means that we don't have this concept of giving the property to the Amona and let the sons back. They divide up 50-50. It's not a question. There's no dichotomy in the chasim merubim and the chasim muatim. There's no dichotomy when Amona faces daughters who inherit it, when Amona faces sons who inherit it. Right? There's no requirement to go on 50-50 on the deal. There's no requirement that the chasim merubim and the chasim muatim. I mean, there is a requirement to go 50-50 on the estate. There's no definition of chasim merubim and chasim muatim. That doesn't come to play at all. Okay? Now, when it does come to play, however, is when Amona, the widow and daughters combine forces, woe unto the son, when the widows and the daughter, widow and the daughters combine forces, because then the widow by herself cannot compel the son to go back while she takes property. But the widow plus the daughters can. Because once the daughters are in the picture and they're getting property off the top, Amona comes in with them and gets property off the top as well. And then the boys are left in the cold, literally speaking, going from door to door and begging for whatever they want. Okay? So this problem is Amona Deichel Abona Sayidei Abonim. Really means is that sometimes the Amona pushes up the sons together with the daughters. Kishem Shamona Deiche. I understand. If she pushes off the door with the daughters, she can push up the sons and make them beg. So why not solo? Kishem Shamona Deichel Abona Sayidei Abonim. Kachto Titchel Amona Abonim. Let her do it by herself. Why can't you do it solo? Why do you need the daughters in order to do it? So it says a more fascinating answer. Says you know why? Because from daughters she can't demand anything, but from sons she can say demand the ksuva, and when she demands the ksuva she loses her mizonos. So actually the amona against the son is weaker because there's an escape hatch by which she loses mizonos. That's how she come out. He has to come out to the daughters and make them, or to make the sons beg. Because if she attacks the sons frontally, the sons have a retaliatory strength, which is only might not be practical, but is there, which is to make her lose her the mizonos altogether if she demands her ksuva. And we have a wild case like this. I'm going to open the window because I am poorly. I don't know if you guys stay awake. I can't stay.
Just
mothers
and daughters. What about the
ksuva
there?
The ksuva she gets no matter what. That comes from the estate. The question is, she gets mizonos. The mothers and daughters. Yes, she does. But equally, in other words, the daughters don't go back. Okay. Never. The only time the Amona can force the boys to beg is if the daughters and she piggybacks with them. But otherwise, she doesn't force the begging issue. Okay. Okay, so says the Gemara, I am a loss of Rabbi Shubsai. There was a Amona of Rabbi Shubsai. Havas! She was Mevazel and the Chosim. Now, I don't learn that not a Bnei Moshe, but I like Lieberman. Lieberman has a nice pshat. I like his pshat here. He says, she was selling property for too cheap. Bnei Moshe says she was selling too much property. But Lieberman says, she was selling for too cheap. So Asselman, and they were losing money because she was selling property to raise property to raise cash to feed herself, and she was selling for much too cheap. So the sons came, Rabbi Shubsay's sons came, Asselman, Benoit, Carvin, Rabbi Lozak, and Rabbi Lozak, that's what they do. Asselman just said, "Man, Avilochen, what should I do for you kids? But Inon Amashate, you're a foolish nation. You're idiots. Now what should they have done?" So the Bnei Moshe gives a certain shot that they had a trick they could do, which is true, and they will employ this trick, but it's beyond our capacity for to believe that Rabbi Eliezer would have alluded to the trick they could play. Rather, the Lieberman says a very beautiful pshat. He says the pshat is that he told them, "You're idiots. Why don't you sell yourselves? Why do you let the Amana sell and she undersells? You sell it and give her the mizonos. You're stam idiots." Right? So, Minachtu, when they left the base in Amrun, they said, "Imru l'ksoiva manavid, let's go ask the scribe." Ksova is a scribe. "Let's go ask the scribe, what should we do?" In other words, the scribe of the court, Mistama. They asked him, "What did your Rebbe have in mind?" So the scribe, he was a conniving guy. He was a tricky guy. Amrun said, "This is what you guys should do. Yischamon, pretend! Zavdu Minich said you're selling the property off. And of course, if you sell off the property, she won't have any place in which to collect her tzula, right? So the Asiya Vitavis Parna. So she will come in a fright and demand her tzula. Once she demands the tzula, what do we say to her? Gotcha! No mizonos anymore, right? That'll save the brat." And that's what they did, and it worked. Beside you, I mean, eventually, the woman came, the Amona came, and she complained. It should be probably Kavilis. But in any event, she came close to it, and she complained about Rabbi Lezer, to Rabbi Lezer. Armor late, so he said to her, she took a promise, "Yovo, I make curses before me," he said. "If I said anything to them about this ruse, Uman Avid, what can I do? Umakas Prushim Nagaba." We had this in Mesaita. This is the Anaita given by a person who seems to be an abstaining, upright member of the community. Really, he's a conniving, dastardly type of fellow. In other words, here the Sefer gave this Eitzah to your either sons or stepsons, and there that's how they got out of having to give you mizonos. But that was not my intent. My intent was simply that they should sell instead of you. But what the conniving Sefer told them to do is that they should pretend that they're selling the property and thus could coerce you to demand the ksuba, and that way you'd lose mizonos. Oh well, tough luck on her. Rab Chananel, again, the Bnei Moshe is in Pshat, but Lieberman's trial is very nice. Rab Chananel, B'shem Rabbi Zia, B'shem Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah said, "Shnei Tvoim Amar Chanav L'Kabas," it's really not our sugi, the sugi in Ksuba is not relevant to us. The two things Chanan said, and Halacha is like him, those two things. Shivon Amar Amot, seven things Amot said, Vein Halacha Kimo Yisoy, Halacha is not like him. Rabbi Babar Zav D'Shem Yitzhak Ben Chakula said, "Come on, come share Shoninu, anytime you see in our Mishnah." Amar Shimon says, "Choyani Estivri Admoin," I think Admon's correct. Halacha Admon, Halacha is like Admon, except where it's not, which is our Mishnah. We don't bask him like Admon. Okay, he might never pass like for that matter, but that's a sugi for tzuvos. Shmuel, now the sugi, I don't know why it's brought down even here. If I was really lazy, I could just erase the rest of the sugi until the Mishnah. The sugi is the sugi in Vamos, where it's much better expounded. Here it's far inferior to the sugi in Yavamos, where it appears in the first parak, fourth parak, first halacha. Says Shmuel, "Mar zochlin bar." Shmuel says you can go. You can make an acquisition, I should say bestow an acquisition, on a fetus. You can bestow property on a fetus. Okay? Rabbi Lezer says you can't bestow property on a fetus. But he's a big Rabbi Lezer. I mean, the mission scene, sorry, Rabbi Lezer says, "Gershemes, a gerah died. Ubiz bizu Yisrael has the chos of Jews. Came and looted his property. And we found out that he's got a son." Right? Oshoi Seisumu Beres, or his daughter was pregnant, his wife was pregnant. Kula, so then, they all have to give back whatever they took. It goes to the son. So the Mara asks over there, Yavam says, Kashan Shmuel, who says, Ain Zachel, and Reb Lez, who says, Ain Zachel, Ibarim. So the Mara says, what kind of nonsense is that? This is Yerusha. The son of the Ger inherited, he didn't get it because the father is Mizaket to him, because the father gave it to him as a present, or gave it to him as a Kenyan. He got it because he's an heir, so there's no proof of there in any event. Says the Gemara, Hichziru, continues on over there, where they gave it back. V'acharka to the mother, or to, the trustee until the kid is born. Chakach Mesaben, and then the son who's still born to the Ger dies in infancy. Basically, a tribe within the first 30 days. Or Shapila Ishto, or for that matter, his wife miscarried, even though she was thought to be pregnant, she miscarried. Hamachzik v'achron ezocha. So, the last guy holding on to property acquires the property. I mean, the guy holding on to it at the time. Said more why, Bereshon ezocha ilo. Which is something wrong with the Gisa here, but why doesn't the first guy get it? In other words, the first guy to grab it, truly have to relinquish it to the kid when he found out that the mother was pregnant. But why now does he not get it back? Says Mar Pasaloi, explain Mishum Yeush, the first guy already gave up. When he gave it up, he gave it up. Does that make sense? When he gave it up,
it was
Betos,
his son.
Yeah, it was Betos, because Yeush doesn't have to be, there's no such thing, Yeush. Kavana, Yesh Betos, is by definition. You gave up hope. You know, it doesn't matter what false premise, under what false premises you gave up hope. Once you gave up hope, you gave up hope. Says more, wait a minute. I understand, isn't it difficult from this Mishnah or this Bryce also in Shmuel, who holds Mizakalu Barkana, right? So nevertheless, even if you hold Mizakalu Barkana, So then, nobody should acquire it. In other words, as long as the Uber is getting it, as before we gave the answer, which you gave for of Yusha, of course. But once the Uber is getting it, so nobody should acquire it. Not to be sure, not to acquire it. So right, so it's going again. I feel like Shmuel Lacy pleads and argue. So I know I feel about acquiring a loiske. Even the last guy shouldn't get it because it's given to the Uber. So therefore, whoever holding on to us last should not get it at all because there's a point in which it's given to the Ubar as a gift, and whatever I had before that, even the last guy holding out before that should not acquire it. So there's more again there. Odin Mishum Yeush. And Achanami theoretically should acquire it. But since the previous owners had acquired it, so therefore, previous owners are sitting in it. I mean, previous owners, for sake, look at the Rishonim. The last guys are sitting there, right? So the Mizaki Ubar didn't work because the kid died. The last guys get it because of the principle of Yeush. Okay? So both ultimately it comes out to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Lez's Machlos. It's nothing to do with that Sukhi over there. Right? The Sukhi, whether they're talking to the Blue Barm or not. The question of whether Ger Shemates with Bizbuzu Yisrael and the Chosav, it's not a question of Mizak Luber, but a question of Yerusha counterbalanced by Yeush. Not a question of Mizak Lubar. The Ger is not being Mizake. He's not being Makne to Zuber the property, but rather he's bequeathing to his child the property, and therefore the entire parallel is not a parallel whatsoever. Okay? And this should again, this Sugi and Bamas, I don't know what's brought down here at all. Anybody Mabanas? A guy left side, this Yushami is a classic. Well, this person's submission, but the Yushami, classic. Hineach Bani Mabanas. It's actually, we should coin the second, the first there, how many laws of thermodynamics are there?
Yeah.
A few of them. So we should have the few laws of Spindel. The first one being the basic Spindel principle, and then the second principle being reasons we don't teach Gemaras to women. Okay, so this will be another one of those second Spindel principle Gemaras. Hiniach body Ubanos. First, they have to get to the Mishnah. If everybody wants to leave sides the daughters, the tumtum. And a tumtum, of course, we don't know what gender he belongs to. So Mizmatcher Chasim Ruvim, if there's a lot of property, which means that the girls get fed and the boys inherit, the males send it to the females and say, you're not a male, right? So if you inherit anything, no, go get fed with the females. But you know what the females do?
You're not a female.
Similarly, if the the truth is, Marafshach, he gets something. He gets whatever's less in that case, where the Chasim Ruvim, he gets whatever's less, either the food amount or the property amount, because the minimum, he gets less of the two amounts. Now, vice versa, if there's a Chasim Ruvim, if there's a small amount, right, then the females push over to the males and say, you're not one of us. And therefore, he has to go and beg. My son gives birth to a male child. You told him out of the kid should get $100. No, you owe the zachar. If the kid gives the kid born is a male, no, the money gets $100. In the cave, if the girl, it's a girl who's born, she's going to need more money, right? So then, the Messiah, she should get $200, right? You hold in the keva, if his wife gives birth to the keva, the Messiah, she gets $200. Im Zacham want to be in the keva, Messiah. He says, if it's a male, $100. If it's a keva, $200. You hold the Zacham in the keva, and she gives birth to twins, is bad luck, right? Hazacham, night almana, the male gets $100 in the keva, Messiah, and the girl gets $200. Yol the tumtum, what if she and his wife gave birth to a tumtum? He's in trouble. Ain't a night tell, the tumtum gets nothing because he's neither definitely male nor definitely female.
And she gives birth to an
Andreas. Andreas, yeah, it's a good question what Andreas is. The court would be the same. It would seem to be the same thing over here.
We have a higher position.
Yeah. That's, no, I don't think so. It would seem to be the same issue. Vimamai said, Koma Shatelish the Yito. If he said, no matter what my wife gives birth to, let them get the money, I raise it until the kid gets the money. Now, let's talk about as a gift off the top, without any, without before inheritance, right? If he's the only heir, of course he inherits everything. Obviously, if this child was born, is the only heir of the father, then of course he inherits whatever there is. Okay, ready, guys? Tani! Ha! One of these geschmack gemaras. Why somebody says, I'm vascheni. If somebody notifies me, Yolda Yishizaka, my wife gave birth to a male, Yito Masayim, the messenger will get $200. Yolda Zaka, and then the Masayim. She gives birth to a birth, then the messenger gives birth to a male, the messenger gets $200. In the cave, it says that my wife gives birth to in the cave, then money should be $100. Yolda in the cave, if the girl is born, Naito Mona gets $100, right? Zachar Nekeva, what if he was told that his wife gave birth to both a male and a female? So how much should these two children get altogether? What?
300,
right? 200 from 100 other. No! Ain Loel Amana. There's only $150 each. $100 divided between the two of them. Why? Because I remember a Biklat Sagas Nekeva Simcha Zachar. The anguish over having given birth to a daughter cancels out the joy of having given birth to a son. Alright, Vafis Gemara, right? So this Gemara, we have not seen anything like this before, certainly not in the Bavli. But nevertheless, Rabbi Mona says that the anguish of having given birth to a daughter outweighs the happiness of having given birth to a son. And therefore, he doesn't give the $200, the extra $200. He only gives $100 be among the two kids to be split up equally. Okay? Says the Mishnah, not politically correct, Gemara. How long are you? Masnisi. Hiniach barim gedoyim uktanim. You left adult sons and minor sons. Now, the adult sons, the adult boys, are cultivating the property. Obviously, it's the estate. He says being cultivated. So if they cultivate the property, whatever cultivation they do, whatever enhancement they do, they split it 50-50. Why? Because they're working on what? The estate. It's not yet divided up. So even though they're the ones working and the ketanim are in school, wherever they are, nevertheless, the enhancement is split up 50-50. Logical, right? Okay? Bimama, they said, no. If the Gedolim gave notice, they certainly said, look what our father left us. See, what we're going to invest now is property which is going to us in the division. We haven't divided yet, but you should know this property which is going to us because it's been designated to us. Right? So in that case, if they notified, they made this notification, we're going to do with that which we're going to get. And we're going to consume it ourselves. You speak lots more. Whatever advancement they get enhancement. They make for themselves. She enhances the property. She enhances the. Who's the woman who what? Who inherits? How do I put the woman? Anyway, some woman inherits. Same idea. She does it for both her and whoever else inherits. Maybe it's two women. I don't know. Imama, she said, oh, it's a wife. She must be in apotropos. She's working on behalf of the Yusayman. So whatever she does is distributed equally. Imama, she said, my father, my husband left me. This is my personal property. I'm going to do geschäft. I'm going to do business with it and eat it myself. Then the enhancement goes to her and her alone. Says my Rabbi Loch. Rabbi Loch said, Imamu, where do the brothers are going to make this pronouncement, this disclaimer, that whatever work they're doing for themselves, be based. There's a big machlokes between the Rishonim, whether we pass them like this Rishonim, that's got to be court. Or we pass of Rashbam says, no, in front of Adim suffices, it doesn't have to actually be in court. Hi, then the other Rishonim say, hi, the Rishonim says, okay, it probably doesn't, so we don't have to go by that. The Bei Rabbi Yana said, Afilu Irne. Now, some people, the Rashbam means Afilu Adim, means that, which is like the Rashbam. You don't have to actually notify in front of Basin. All you have to notify in front of is Adim, in front of witnesses, which is like the Rashbam says. However, the Pashm Shanas, Ushami, most of Pashm say, even if the father left the older brothers a bucket, and they say, you know, the enhancement we're making the property is with our bucket. Now, they might not actually be just using the bucket, but the bottom line is they've sort of noticed that they're working for themselves. So therefore, the enhancements, they're not going to split up 50-50. And they have a right to say, whatever extra work we did with our bucket. I guess we could prove that that's not correct. If we went to the trouble, perhaps, that we have to, the Lamaisa, they have the right to say, we're working with our bucket extra, that should not go 50-50. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Marfil Sal, even a basket, I feel accord them if they could identify something specific left them by their father, they could say we're working with that in order to make more money. Tanya Bechia said, I feel machat, even a needle, I feel kaftsavit puzzle, even something which is sealed with a sealed container. Everybody goes crazy. What's his name? It's something sealed by a sealed container. Nobody has a good shot in it, however. So, in other words, whatever minimal thing the far left, they can claim they're working at the Nansa and the profits are based on that and go to that.
It's a sealed container, it's useless.
No, there must be something inside. Right, there must be something inside.
Yeah,
right.
But you're not able to get to it because.
Oh, you want to say even if it's something which is so useful?
Yeah, valuable, useful, but it's, can't use it.
Interesting. Could be. It might be a nice shot. Okay, by the way, everybody, I must point out at this point we have made a seum on Lieberman. This is where Lieberman is done. The Escorial manuscript does not get to the end of Bava Basra. It's Bava Kama, Bava Tzia, and Bava, actually not the beginning of Bava Kama either. Bava, but that's it. Only up to here. Rest of Shas, let's do it without Lieberman. Okay. Says Gemara. You guys look shattered. Sorry, guys. Says Gemara further. Anachina said, interesting, so there's a palace in the Bavli, and we had a palace, you think in Yerushalmi at some point, I don't remember where, but probably Kedushin. Hamesis b'no b'vayis, if you marry up your son in your house, zocha b'vayis, then your son gets the house. Does anybody remember something vaguely like this? You set up a chuppah in a house, the house goes along with the chuppah. That's why you make chuppahs in hotels and in halls. So they don't acquire your house, because you made your child's chuppah at home. Your home goes.
What if it's someone else's?
You can't give it. It's only your own home. Okay, but that's what, make it outside the home. Says my Tyra, I said, but buy some of the only the house, not the furniture. Furniture you get to keep. You got to move it out of the house, but you get to keep the furniture. Okay? Rebbe Law, our friend Rebbe Law, Chilik gets a trachli minola ben beno. He had a large chol. He divided it in half. And he gave, although he made the chuppah in the hall, he didn't mean to give the whole hall to his son. He only gave the half where the chuppah was to his son. After chuppah, that's right. Another shot. Okay. Says Rabbi Chagai, Rabbi Chagai for. Okay. Rabbi Chagai asked. Rabbi Yossi, how is the chuppah of the kita? His chuppah was in the chuppah room. Vaslo I say betrachlin, but the meal was in the ballroom. So now, in other words, the chuppah's in one room and the meal's in the other room. Right, and the kita was the small room, the trachlin was the big room. So which one does he get? Either one, neither of them, which one does he get? Amarlesi said, Chameh le mafka. Nobody understands what this line means. Anybody can interpret this line any way they want. Chameh le mafka means see him remove it. Now the question is, what do you mean? See him remove it, let him remove himself from the trachlin, and give him the trachlin to his son, from the big room, and give big room to the son. So it means, chamele mafka, that see if he, to see that he moved the chuppah from the big room to the, he moved the chasna from the chuppah room to another room, which means he only wants to give that room to his son. What? I'm sorry, you're right. I was looking at the Pnei Moshe says Chamei Le Mafka. I forgot. Our Gemara says Chamei Leis Le Mafka. Leis Chamei Le Mafka. So there are all different interpretations here. It seems like the best interpretation is: didn't you see that he moved the chuppah? And since he removed the chuppah, it means that he removed the chuppah from the big room and put the chuppah in the hall. So this we see that he didn't want to give him the big room; all he wanted to give him was the hall. That seems to be the pshat here. Okay, leis chamele mafka. Did you see him remove the chuppah from the big room to the hall? That means he wants to give him the small room, not the big room. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Chokin Mektayim Nei Gedolim. This is going back to our Mishnah. If you have an estate and the Gedolim are running roughshod over the estate, they divide it up in order for the advantage of the children, not the advantage of the adults. El Amduk, that's true. El Amduk Tanim Motzu Dover Yeser Michu. What if the Ketanim got up and they found something extra, and they made a mechon and said, "Well, this should go to us as well." And yet the adult children want to keep it themselves. Rabbi Avo says the adult children have to take an oath that they actually made this enhancement for their own property, not for the common estate. Anytime you want to take money away from your friend, you got to bring the proof because he's accepted. In this case, the adult children have to bring a proof that the money they made out of their own part of the estate, not the part of the estate which was common to both of them. It's interesting because we assume the default assumption is that estate is always a joint or a thing. Reb Chiyo Amar, Stam Achin Shutfin Ashleisha Doros. For three generations, children are considered to be partners by default. Assumptions are their default. Whereas estates are slow to divide up. It can go three generations before an estate is divided up. And until that time, all the heirs to the estate divide everything up equally, proportionally. That's assumed that everybody's working on behalf of the estate unless they give notice that they're not. So it actually is a halachic corporation. Those are signed and split up, and could be even beyond up to three generations. Okay? That's a fascinating thing. It's on the Bible. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Barbun, what if the son went off and started his own corporation during his father's lifetime? Then after his death, he doesn't have to say, I'm going off on my own. He doesn't have to cut the base and say anything because we assume they continue the same path he took during his father's lifetime. And we have a couple of stories like this. A certain individual, he became either a barber or a soifer. I don't know which one of the two is apparent here. So his children want to split up with him. They want to say whatever he was working as a barber, as a soifer, is working for the estate, right? So Rabbi, the story came from Rabbi Ami. Amar, he says that this is what we say. Other Shabbat Mitzia, if a father of a certain individual didn't get split up the estate and he found the Mitzia, his brothers split it up with him? Of course not. He personally found the Mitzia. So to your brother who is personally working for himself, he doesn't have to split that up with you. Okay? Simul, is that clear?
Is it
Caleb
for his malacha from the estate?
I guess not. I guess Caleb, at least he contended. Which he contended that Caleb were not from the estate. So they probably didn't believe him. They wanted to take a shvuah. And the Rabbi Ami Pasuk, who's Rabbi Ami here, who said he doesn't have to take a shvuah. We believe him when he says that it's actually his. Okay, that it was on his own. Chaman Ash, another case. Chaman Ash, nothing to do, he went out to be a broker. His brothers want to split up with him. So the case came from Rabbi Ami. Obviously said, fascinating response. If one brother became abandoned and made money that way, do the other brothers may have to split up with him? So I guess we're comparing brokerage to banditry. Okay? That shall remain without comment. But whatever he made for himself. Rabbi Horanya. His brother wanted to split with him. So he said, Alexandre, my Alexandrian brother, it's not clear, maybe their name was Alexandre, whatever. He said, do you not know that our father left me $2,000 capital, which I myself am using, which this is from my own funds, we don't divide up this. Okay? Chesha, finally, a woman who's working on behalf of the assignment. She also is working on behalf of everybody unless she comes and tells people that she's not. Rabbi Lorgla says, I'm a Rabbi Beistin. Where does she have to say she's not working on behalf of the common wheel? She has to come and say that in Beistin, she's working on her own, not working for everybody else. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening. I'm Kof Chesson based at the top. Today's blot, by the way, I finally got my Gerer Luach this past week. I have an extra one if anybody wants it. Yeah, this today is officially, what's today's date? January what? January 17th. Today's official blot is Shavuos Chav Gimel. And we have, as of tonight, how many blot left in Blot Basra? Five. So we're 28 blot behind as of tonight.